Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Trials of Apollo, The Tyrant's Tomb, Chapter 29. Ever heard the phrase, "the silence is deafening"? Yeah, that's a real thing. Immediately, I crumpled to my hands and knees under the weight of the other gods of power.
Hi, I'm Ava.
I'm Neve.
And I'm Brayden.
And this is Return to Camp Half-Blood, the English class that you always wanted.
Where we analyze the Percy Jackson and Heroes of Olympus books through a new theme every week.
Ava, Neve, how are we this week?
I'm doing pretty swell. Started a new job. I am now officially a restaurant diva.
Welcome to the club.
Love to see it.
I know. I really like it. I'm also very lucky in that, like, the restaurant that I work at, it's not like the traditional, like, service. Like, we don't do the traditional service things all the time because, like, you order via QR code. Like, that's pretty much the norm.
Oh, that's really strange. I've seen it too, but I always feel weird about it as a customer.
I love it because it's either that or, like, if someone asks for paper menus, we give them, like, slips of paper with the menu on them and then they circle what they're getting. And then you input it into the system. So it's like, it's a little odd, but, like, frankly, I love it. So I don't have to, like, be going to, you know, like, we don't have, like, zones or anything in terms of, like, where people, you know, it's like food runners just run food everywhere because also it's a pretty small restaurant. I really like it. I think food service is better than retail. So I'm still currently doing both and also working in the arts because I hate myself clearly, but having a ball. In all three areas at the moment, largely because it's money and money is awesome to have. And yeah, I really need to clean my room, but that's one of the only current night. Actually, no, I've had a very stressful past few days, but we're past that clearly. That's okay. I'm here. I have Goldfish recording the pod and we're chilling. How are you, Neve?
I'm good. Yeah, I am readjusting to not being at a show all the time, which has made me I was very sleepy for a while, just like residual sleepiness, but now I'm back, I think. And yeah, I've just been going to work, having a good time, trying to pick up extra shifts whenever I can, just so I can save up for our upcoming vacation. Which will be very exciting. I have to talk to my girl Carissa in HR. I have paid time off hours and I have no idea how to use them. So I'm just gonna be like, "Hey queen, how do I use these things? I need to use them now." That's actually good. I need to remember to do that tomorrow. But yeah, I've been doing good. I'm glad it's actually like perfect universal timing that the show is now wrapped, and this week I moved into scene work in my acting class, which is like a shit ton of commitment. When you like get moved into, like, you can start doing scenes, it's like you do the classes two times a week and you have a different scene for each day and different scene partners, and you also need to rehearse like a good amount outside of class. So now that I'm moving into that, I'm excited that I'll have not be actively in a show when that happens. So that's very slay. Yeah, I like my acting class. It's actually quite fun. I've never, like, I took Meisner over Zoom, and this is like a primarily Meisner class. And I was like, I don't think I like Meisner, but it turns out I still like it over Zoom. Cause how the fuck could you do that over Zoom? It's actually very interesting to do in person. How are you, Brayden?
I'm okay. I'm good. It's been a long day. I was at Light Hang at 9:30 this morning, and I was hanging lights until 7, and then I went to the gym, and then I got home to have a meeting with our friends we're going on vacation with to finalize our plans about vacation, which is a meeting in its own. But Neve and I ordered Domino's during it, and that was fun. And now we're here recording the podcast after 11 p.m. So I've really been doing stuff all day.
Yeah.
But like, in a good, like, everything I did today was like something I wanted. Like, everything was good, just like busy, which is sometimes it be like that. And it is like that.
Most and of the time, frankly.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like every week we get on and be like, I'm busy, but I like it, but I love it. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. I love it. but yeah, we're chilling, getting excited for the Return to Camp Half-Love Percy Jackson Awards.
Yes, we are.
That excited. Are in a week from this episode.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Well, welcome back to Return to Camp Half-Blood. This week we'll be discussing The Trials of Apollo, The Tyrant's Tomb, chapters 29 through 32, through the theme of ephemerality.
Mm-hmm.
This week, we are elated to be joined by the esteemed memester themselves, Robert from the Damn Meme Page. Please introduce yourself if our audience has no idea who you are, which would be crazy.
Hello, everyone. Hi. Funny story, funny behind the scenes story for the audience. I was supposed to be on this podcast twice before, and both times it got too late and I fell asleep.
I appreciate the honesty and candor to which you're presenting this to your audience.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was just a lot. Hello, Kat. How are you? It was really just a lot of like, hey, it's 11 o'clock and I have to get up at 4 a.m. to drive an hour to work. But now I live like 5 minutes from my job, so who cares?
That's good.
I'm so happy for you that is not your commute anymore. That's literally...
Oh, my. Oh, so am I. But I'm really glad that I managed to get on for these chapters. These are actually my favorite chapters of the book.
I was excited that stuff happened in these chapters.
It's a significantly better reason than the last chapters I wanted to be on, which was just because Apollo made a reference to Fortnite.
Please, that's hilarious. I've been speaking of Fortnite, I don't dabble. No, it's not me. Don't even Brayden. I've never seen them more shocked in their life.
No, because nothing would happen to you that big and us not know about it.
Yeah, we that's also, true. We even Brayden know when I take a step in my own home.
Like, especially because like we record once a week, so we at least get an update once a week. But like the last time we recorded this podcast, like we're recording a lot sooner because of scheduling. And like it's only been 4 days since we've talked. So a lot would have happened in those 4 days.
Yeah, and also it's not like we don't text as friends. I'm not a Fortnite girly at the moment, never have been, but I'm an ally to the community in that my friend who's in the show with me that I'm in right now, I drive her to rehearsals and to shows every day in exchange for McDonald's sometimes, which is awesome. And she has been telling me, I was in a Lady Gaga like revival era pretty recently, just like was blasting art pop like for an entire like week and a half for no good reason. I love that fucking album so much. Justice for art pop. But she was telling me that Lady Gaga is now on Fortnite, which is something I thought you guys were gonna be impressed that I knew it.
I'm impressed that you knew this. It did happen like a month ago.
Oh no, I know that. We just haven't talked about Fortnite on this podcast, maybe ever.
I'm gonna say it confident. This is the first time it's come up.
I've played Fortnite a couple times.
I believe
I haven't played Fortnite in a while. I am amazed at this news. The last big news I heard was that Eminem was on Fortnite.
Didn't know about that. Wow.
I only knew about Lady Gaga because I like she's my girl. Like I knew it as Lady Gaga news, not Fortnite news.
Yeah.
My Fortnite era is long gone. I was never really that into Fortnite. My brothers were, and my ex-boyfriend in high school used to, I'm about to out my ex-boyfriend. You're never going to find him. So, and he's never going to listen to this. So hopefully, but he used to fall asleep to Fortnite Let's Plays.
That's okay, cute. That's huge. Wait, news I'm for sorry. Me and Neve know who, like, who we know who this.
I'm sorry, what the fuck? How did you fall asleep to Fortnite Let's Play? You can't really Let's Play Fortnite.
No, I know, I know.
There's no end to Fortnite. It's a fucking battle royale. There's no end. What?
You know, I'm not one to judge. I mean, I clearly I was judging by revealing that.
Funny.
Okay, it's been what, 5 years? Like, at the statute of limitations on me being able to share things about.
It's so funny. It's so funny. Oh my
Valid God. Valid as fuck. One of my favorite YouTubers is a guy who, like, sneaks in and climbs buildings and shit and, like, scaffoldings and cranes and stuff. And every video, he's like, oh yeah, I recorded this video 5 years ago, but the statute of limitations have passed, so they can't arrest me.
Word.
That is so funny. Wow.
And I feel the same about sharing information about my ex-boyfriend that he might not want the public to know. But you'll never know who he is, which of my ex-boyfriends, and it was long enough ago that I'm sure he doesn't do that. I'm actually certain that behavior has not continued. Well, I guess I have way of knowing for certain.
Never know.
You can hear.
Anyway,
speaking of YouTubers,
you're gonna keep going, and one more sidebar, and then we'll have Robert do our 30-second summary.
Yes, one more sidebar. One of my favorite YouTubers is this man who's probably about 65, maybe 70, and he sits on his porch and he sets his camera up. I think Neve and Brayden know him because I put him on our apartment TV a few times back in the day at college. He has somehow befriended a community of raccoons that live near his house. And by a community, I mean, like, there are at least 30 of them in, like, close proximity to this porch. And so this old man, I mean, he's probably older than how I described him. I don't think that's old, don't worry. But he walks out, sits on his porch, and just lets them flock to him. And it's like over 20-minute footage of him just, like, feeding these raccoons and, like, just, and, like, sometimes the YouTube, the titles are like, we got 23 today, or like something like that. The internet's amazing.
The internet's fantastic.
I do need to make sure people know when Ava says feeding them, she means, like, large plastic tubs full of hot dogs.
Yeah.
Like, not breadcrumbs.
Yeah. Important detail. Yeah.
Today I learned a raccoon's diet. That's, I've been eating a lot of hot dogs since I moved into my own apartment. I'm like, what is food? Hot dogs. Bam. Easy. Get some bread. Get some hot dog. We're done.
See, bagels.
Bagels. Bagels are a great, I live alone and need breakfast food.
Yeah.
Bagel, egg, pepper jack cheese from Target.
Mm.
That's literally all you need.
I unfortunately don't have a Target near me. I have become a Walmart girly just because of the proximity of what's near me.
That's
so valid. I have a Target 0.1 mile from
there. They're not really any Walmarts right here near us, but there's a Target opening across the street, which is
Walmart's
very exciting.
Not a city girl.
Walmart.
I'm no longer a city girl. I decided to live in some middle of nowhere fucking town in New Jersey.
Wow.
And you know what?
And we love that.
There are nice things about that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like being 5 minutes from work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Love that especially.
And speaking of being 5 minutes away from work, and now that Robert is on the podcast, that means you've no longer escaped the 30-second recap.
Oh, you're going to love what I'm going to do for the 30-second recap.
I'm excited.
And you're going to do it right now. Go. Mm-hmm.
sound being like church bells is even funnier.
See, but I know we're gonna get messages that are like, your audio cut out.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Because it also does happen. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with my computer. It sometimes just happens, and I'm
sometimes
sorry.
It happens.
I know. I just don't make enough money off this podcast or any money off this podcast to put that much effort into fixing it.
The joke, listeners, is that this is a 4 chapters about silence, so I just said nothing.
I think that what an incredible, like, artistic decision.
Beautiful.
It was awesome. I did giggle a few times because I was like, they're committing to the bit so hard.
Yeah, no, I love it.
I love it.
Couldn't help.
Nothing if not someone who commits to the bit.
It was so, just the eating grin as you sat there in complete silence. I was like, that's so good.
Shit eating.
All right. What songs have we procured this week for the Tyrant's Tomb playlist? I'm getting those SAT words in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I will go first with mine because it's like pretty on the nose and I just want to get over it. This is also, it's an on the nose song, but I think it's good. And it's also one of my favorite songs. I was actually asked what my favorite song was today, and this was my answer. Is Only the Good Die Young by Billy Joel.
Mm. Oh!
And I just think it's really telling about, like, I think the most interesting thing about the song and the phrase, even just Only the Good Die Young, is that the reality of Only the Good Die Young means the longer you live, the more shit you do, in that, like, if you live as long as Apollo, you are bound to fuck up, because that's a lot of time. And I think that's the story of Only the Good Die Young. Yeah. And I like it for that reason.
Period.
Hmm. Yeah. I can go. Mine's vibes based. I chose Alaska by Maggie Rogers because it's the same kind of melancholy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The feeling just really wild. It like makes my chest hurt. So
I fucking love that song too. And that
I like think about it and
no
I'm like,
no one has ever done it, like heard it in a past life, and no one ever will.
Such a good fucking album.
Not even Maggie.
Not even Maggie. I liked the second album.
I liked it, but it was no. Yeah.
It will never be the same. That album is so good. Her most recent release was like a very like bluegrass country. It was very surprising.
Yes.
It was good. It was fun.
She's always had a little bit of a,
My pick, because Brandon and I just saw them in concert. So I was like, if I can find a way, I'm going to do it.
Literally yesterday
is End of the Water by Waterparks. Similarly, like kind of on the nose of just like this like acceptance, and it does include a lot of another person though, which I think was a really interesting part of these chapters that we'll delve into, of like how these two characters were connected in this decision. And I feel like this song also talks about that. But go see Waterparks in concert. It was so much fun. I had such a great time. I had my 24 ounce Bud Light seltzer and I was dancing. It was so fun.
So speaking of songs that are on the nose, I chose The Sounds of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel.
I was thinking about that. I'm going to be honest.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. Yeah. Funnily enough, they're also apparently going to perform at Niagara Falls on April 17th. So, hey, if you're in the area, by all means.
Huh. That's so random. I didn't know they did concerts at Niagara Falls.
I didn't know they were still alive.
I didn't know either of those things.
Who's doing
what? Happy for you, Ava.
Are they live?
Ava's living in ignorance.
I don't know. I think those are two things to not know and be okay. I didn't know that they did concerts at Niagara Falls. I live in Chicago. I didn't know that Simon and Garfunkel were still kicking. I don't.
She didn't know that Jackie Chan was a man.
Okay. True. And Steph Curry and Noah Cyrus. Big three.
Oh, yeah. Noah Cyrus happened on the pod.
It did. Oh, listeners. Oh, I can't go back now. This is a crazy request. Please, I'm asking you nicely, send us a DM, leave a comment, do anything you'd like. If you're sun, moon, and rising as chosen from Jackie Chan, Steph Curry, Noah Cyrus.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What a specific ass.
I know. And that's why I was like, I can't go back because I don't know if it was going to like work out or not.
I don't know if it does, but I'm really glad that you realized, oh, I'm in too deep and I'm just going to keep running with it.
That's how I think about a lot of the things that I say.
All right. What were our favorite moments of these chapters? I liked the suicide pact. Yeah. Like, I can't.
Front and forward.
I can't say it any other way. Like, it is just factually what occurred.
It is.
But yeah, it was for real reasons, and like the euthanasia of it all. Like, I don't know. Something about, I am kind of obsessed with the like good place idea, yeah, of like, and now I'm ready, and now I'm just going to stop existing, which is terrifying to think about.
Yeah.
I don't want to contemplate it myself, but I love it as a literary trope.
I was thinking more about the third episode of The Last of Us.
Mm.
Real. Oh, real.
Yeah.
No, very similar ties. Just in the sense of like one character, it was kind of inevitable. Like, yes, it was a suicide pact regardless, but like Sybil wasn't necessarily making it out of this either way, you know?
Yeah.
What was the line that he says something about, you were my purpose?
Yeah.
That's, ooh, essentially what this like boils down to. Like the Sybil, they met each other in extreme circumstances, but in the end they died in their own terms.
It was literally like, that's such a good comparison of the Last of Us episode, because it was just such a tragic, sad one chapter in a full book where unrelated zombie things are happening.
Literally. What's really funny is that the creators of the show, and then subsequently, like, I can apply the same logic to this. The creators of the show are like, that's the happiest ending for any of the characters in the show. And I'm like, yeah, this is probably the happiest ending for any of the characters in this book. They got to go on their own terms, in love with each other or whatever.
Is that the episode with Nick Offerman?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I have not seen that one. I've only seen one, but I've heard glowing reviews in terms of my friend's tears.
Oh, that episode.
Lives.
Live.
Shout out to Nick Offerman. He got a reward for that. And he was like, people complain that, why did you make it gay? Like, no, we didn't make it gay. We just made a love story. You know, because you guys are assholes. Shut up.
I love Nick Offerman. He's like top of the list. Like, please adopt me, even though I'm 22. Like, I would like you to be my father.
Nick Offerman and Megan Mullally are like,
they're mom and dad. I
would die for them.
Yeah. Mm.
They're mom and dad.
They are so mom and dad. Official parents of the pod.
Official parents of the pod, Nick Offerman and Megan Mullally.
Yep.
Ugh, she was so incredible on Will and Grace. That's such a side note. But like, if you've never seen Megan Mullally's performance as Karen on Will and Grace, I highly recommend you watch a YouTube compilation, because it is some of the best comedic acting you will ever see.
If I could call you a slur.
I mean, you could.
No, well, I don't think
say it on the pod.
I don't think I can.
I think you can, but that's a separate conversation. Whether if queer women can say the F word, I think yes, but your comfortability is also important.
Okay, valid.
But you could, if you could call me it, if that is that feel better. Like,
a crazy side.
No, but like, maybe you don't want to say it in general, but like, if you would like to try it.
Can I just say,
I also,
hilarious.
Robert?
Can I just say that with this particular conversation, God, I forget which friend told me, but when episode 3 of the show came out, they were like, hey, Robert, you know how when two straight men have to pretend to be in a queer relationship and they kiss in a way that looks like they're pulling every muscle in their lips back? I'm like, yeah. Nick Offerman kisses like an F word.
Oh, that's awesome.
Exactly.
And I'm like, I mean, he's a theater kid. Like, yeah, of course.
Because he's awesome. A great actor.
Yeah.
You don't see a single muscle pulling back. It's all forward, baby.
Put that on a t-shirt. It's all forward, baby. Trains.
My favorite moment of the book of these chapters is probably when Meg and Raina are trying to be like, hey, yeah, we know that Apollo did a bunch of shitty things, but look at all the things he's doing now. Can you really argue that he's the same person that he was all that time ago? And that is a really conflicting ideology, I think, like a really complex ideology is what I'm about to say, of like, yeah, the person who did shitty things to you has changed to be a better person, but they still did shitty things to you.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. We talked about this a lot last week with like the idea of like cancel culture and what it means to change. But like particularly when you are the victim of a person directly, I don't know if you owe them forgiveness ever. I don't know. Well, okay, to be fair, I can't say his name. It drives me fucking crazy. Hippocrates.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. That was so much effort for me to be able to
you
do
did
that.
It.
Apollo like lightly bullied him. We've all been bullied. We've all bullied someone else. Right?
I'm about to publicly admit on a podcast whether or not I've bullied someone.
No, but I just more mean like as a culture. You know, like, we often act in ways that we also don't know affect other people and can often, like, you can act in a way that, like, someone takes as bullying that you weren't even thinking about them, which is a separate problem. But, like, bullying builds character. I was bullied for a long time. I have a lot of character now. But like, him giving Hippocrates like a swirly is certainly not the worst thing you can do to someone and is a forgivable act. What he did to the Sibyl, she
a billion times worse
to kill him.
Oh, absolutely.
She deserved to kill him.
It is so like, yeah, she should have been like, I have power over you. I'm going to kill you. It's so girl boss of her to be like, I'm going to forgive you, not because you deserve it, but because I'm not going to die with hatred in my heart.
She literally said, I am too tired.
Yeah.
I am too tired to hold this against you any longer.
That's the thing. She was like, I don't want you to have to occupy any more of my thoughts. Like, I'm thinking about me.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I love that. That's like the ultimate immunity, I think.
Yeah.
And I do think forgiveness should often be more for yourself than for the other person.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very true. I feel like that, like, concept. I remember, like, when I was, like, younger and mad at someone, and my mom was like, well, you just have to forgive that so you could let it go. And it is that concept of, like, well, they don't deserve to be forgiven for that. And she was like, well, it's not for them. Like, I feel like that is such a, like, commonly misconstrued thing of, like,
That forgiveness is for someone else.
That, like, I think that these chapters and the Sibyl's decision in these chapters show a very extreme version of the fact that it's not for someone else.
Because it's more about the giving yourself permission to move on.
Yeah.
Because it's not helpful to sit in your hurt or sit in your trauma. Like, it's just not productive. Like, it only continues to harm yourself. And I think that even goes for, like, Apollo himself in the situation where it's like, he doesn't really need their forgiveness to keep going. Like, doesn't really change that much about his life. It can make you, like, it's nice. Being forgiven is nice. But what you really have to do is come to terms with it yourself.
Yeah.
And so, like, forgiveness on both sides is much more about you as an individual than the other person.
True. Yeah. And I think there's also the idea that, like, if the person, for example, like, if you were a victim in any sort of way of someone who has changed drastically, like very, very drastically, and then there's a part of you that's like, I would, like, I feel like there's a type of forgiveness that's like interwoven with the idea that like I could heal by spending more time with the changed version of this person.
Yeah.
And almost acting like that's the new normal. And like thereby kind of like patching over like the old wound with something that you're comfortable with. Like, because there's that idea as well.
Because we really do learn a lot as people. We're never the same person a minute to minute, and always the same person. I believe these things concurrently, which is weird. Like, we're always the same person, but we always change. Yeah. You know, and I hold space for both those ideas to be a little true. But like the girl who bullied me in elementary school, icon, queer woman of color, went to Yale, is a Twitch streamer. And I can't help but forgive her.
That's, you know, awesome.
She's more iconic and accomplished than I will ever be.
Obsessed.
And I think that's exactly what's going on in these
chats. I actually think it's very similar to what's going on in these chats. Not to keep putting myself in Apollo's place. I deserved it. I deserved it. I deserve to be bullied, I'm sure. I was very annoying.
Was.
Maybe not in elementary school. I was very
quiet. Get there, Asneve. Wow.
Wow. Let's take a break. Then we'll be back to talk about the theme of ephemerality.
Yes, we will.
All right. Ephemerality. We're back and we're talking about ephemerality. We're talking about ephemerality now that we're back.
Oh my God.
Okay, I thought it was funny.
I was going to say go for three, but then I was like, I don't want you to go for three.
For those of you who don't know, it comes from the Greek word meaning like the concept of things being transitory, existing only briefly, all that schnaz.
It's a huge concept in the French story, The Little Prince. That's like one of the primary themes, is that one of the main characters is a rose and she can't sustain a relationship with the titular little prince because she is ephemeral, and because her lifespan is completely different from his and they can't live together for that long. It's an interesting concept.
It is a transitory concept in like, we're already talking about this a lot, actually, about the ways people change and how they can and can't change at the same time, because I think that's so especially true for these gods and these immortal characters, where it's like, it's really hard to put yourself in their shoes because you will never understand their relationship to time. And time is such a specific experience. We experience time linearly. However, time is a dimensional concept, which means there are concepts outside of time, fourth dimensions, fifth dimensions, things like that, which is complicated and I cannot explain dimensions, but like that implies the existence of beings that can process dimensions beyond the ones that we can process, in the way that like we see paper, like something written on paper is two-dimensional, we view the world through the third and fourth dimensions, which are space and time. But when you're a god, and space and time don't mean the same things to you as us, what does it mean to grow and change as a person? Because your entire concept of personhood is not based on the, I have 80 years to live and I'm going to die at the end. How do I use those to their fullest?
It's also the idea that, like, there's no solid endpoint. So who's to stop you from doing a full 360?
Yeah.
Yeah. And just trying it. No, completely. And I think it also, like, thinking about that and, like, Apollo's, like, twisted relationship with those parts of the, like, mortal and, like, human experience just shows so, it's so, like, when we, like, hear about what Apollo did to the Sybil initially, you know that he didn't, at the time, he knew it was, like, not a nice thing to do. But, like, he did not fully understand the, like, absolutely excruciating fate he had set upon this person. And then now he sees, like, her at the very end. And, like, while I was reading it, I was, like, thinking about how if non-mortal Apollo saw this exact same scene, like, saw this, like, what the his curse had done to her, would he even really understand? You know? Like, now that he's been through these mortal experiences and understood, like, the way that humans view, like, feel time passing and feel, like, the imminence of death and shit, like, and the idea, like watching her diminish into that state, I don't think would have even have been as impactful if, like, him as a god saw that rather than him in his, like, current whatever the fuck is happening with Apollo in this moment. Not god, but something.
Not god. God. Oh, fuck. What's that? What's that? What's the cringe headline from, like, the British versions of the Percy Jackson books? Like, half god, half mortal, all hero, or whatever the fuck it is.
Oh, I don't know what it is, but you're so correct, and I need to know exactly what it is.
I swear it's that. It's half god, half blank, all hero. I know it's that.
Half god, half mortal, all bitch.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Half boy, half god.
Half boy. There we go. That's what it is. Half boy, half god.
It really, like, knocks him down a peg almost.
Half boy is so much worse.
Yeah.
It's 2014. Like, it's so 2014.
Wow, 2014. It's, the other thing is that, yeah, if godly Apollo came in at the end of the Sybil's life versus mortal Apollo, mortal Apollo, would he care? The other thing to think about is, on the flip side is, like, if, you know, the Sybil's at the end of her life and if godly Apollo came, would she forgive him? Would she give a crap? True. Probably not, because she wouldn't see that he didn't change, but also maybe just to be like, the same reason, I'm not forgiving you because you deserve it. I'm forgiving you because I want to pass on with peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think based on the reason she gives, I think she was ready to forgive him no matter what for herself.
Yeah.
But Harpocrates
was ready to.
Harpocrates was not.
Yeah.
Harpocrates had to be convinced.
Yeah, Harpocrates barely did, even though, you know?
Yeah.
It was really the Sybil, I think, that convinced him in the end, you know?
Yeah, he was, even just the way that, like, Rick wrote it, of, like, Apollo was like, I could feel this guy was still about to kill me.
And,
like,
you know, if that's how this ended, I would still be like, huh, that was a really interesting and compelling story.
Right? I mean,
it's a little disappointing because it didn't tie up any of the plot, but it made sense. Yeah. And I'm interested in what was done here. I'm more interested in that in, like, theater and, like, experimental, like, film than in my Percy Jackson books, though. So I'm glad we went the way we did.
Yeah. I did zone out for half a second, so I don't remember. I don't know if people talked about, like, how Apollo does have this moment of, like, Harpocrates seems to have this wisdom that Apollo doesn't. Yeah. About, like, when it's time to go and to go with it. I forget where the fuck I heard this line from, and it's like, you know, it, when it's your time to go, you go with dignity or something like you like you know when it's time or some paraphrase. Oh, I know where it's from. I don't want to remember where it's from now.
Oh, where is it from?
You have to tell us.
BBC Sherlock.
Oh. You know, hey, I was there too. I was in the
Yeah.
trenches. I was in the Super
We.
Gulag trenches.
Oh God, don't cite the dark text to me, witch. I was there when it was written.
So was I. I was never in Supernatural. We've talked about this. Supernatural
Yeah.
didn't catch any of
Definitely
that.
missed all of us.
But
I only know two things about Supernatural: the Scooby-Doo episode and that they go to Missoula, Montana at one point through some weird road that cannot possibly exist based on how you can get into Missoula, Montana.
incredible.
Okay. No, that one just barely, we dodged that,
And I
frankly.
know what happened to
Hold
Destino
on.
at the end.
We all do.
And we all do. If we were on Tumblr, even if we were off Tumblr by the time it happened, it
It
still
brought people
rejuvenates.
back. Like, holy crap.
The
Yeah.
algorithm
I
had a
think it saved Tumblr.
the algorithm had a
Probably.
zombie hand come puncturing through everybody's screens, being like,
Yeah.
this. You're gonna
Get
find out about it
one.
now.
Yeah.
I have such a fondness for the supernatural because like I never like I've seen maybe an episode when like my best friend in middle school was really trying to get me into it because she was super into it. And I was like, oh, okay, like a demon lady came through the ceiling and like there's fire everywhere. Like yeah. But like it never touched me deeper. But I think like I just it's the epitome of like once again, like the 2013, 2014, like nostalgically sweet, like internet time when everyone was just so passionate about something. And like it was really cute. Like it was all very nerdy, but like I kind of dig that because it means you care about something. You know what I mean? Like
No,
it's
I
just
agree. I think there's an innate urge to yearn for the time when like everything was interesting but not complicated yet, if that makes sense.
yes, it
For
is.
like especially 2013, like 2012 through 2014, I would say, at least for us, were such a like I have interests now that are my own interests and I can act on them individually. But I don't have a good grasp on politics. You know, where it's like I love Teen Wolf. I don't know who's president.
Yeah,
And like I
exactly.
didn't know who was president in 2014. It was
Wow.
Obama. Just to prove that.
Phew.
But like I didn't really know what was going on like in the world socially and politically.
Yeah.
But like
Yep.
I was able to be on the internet and like see discourse.
Yeah.
This cause, yeah, and then the only I think the really oh God, and then thinking about like how Percy Jackson affected the internet and Tumblr, I think the only thing people gave a shit about was Jason dying in the last book, and that's it. That
Yeah.
was like the big Percy Jackson news or like big thing that was holding the fandom together until the show got announced.
Yeah, I was. It, the way the Percy Jackson fandom has ebbed and flowed has been really interesting. Like, for all of us who have been here for so long at this point, like, when we started this podcast even 4 years ago, which is a crazy amount of time, crazy that we've known all these people for so long. It's fantastic and we love it. It's very exciting. But Percy Jackson was, no one was talking about it on the internet really at that time. Like, it was,
No.
there were like two or three podcasts that were doing it. There are hundreds now. Like, it feels like there's a new one every day.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm keeping track. So far, since the show premiered, nine have dropped.
Oh, wow.
Robert, oh my God.
Holy.
A lot of
We're
them are very,
old.
a
We're
lot of them
fucking
are very,
old flops.
well, a lot of them are very polite and nice. They're like, "Hey, you make memes for the like Percy Jackson podcast." I'm like, "Bestie, I'm at like 12 right now. I can't do anymore."
Yeah, no, girl,
It's
do
like
not do that to yourself.
you're at capacity. You're a freelancer.
Literally.
But yeah, but the Percy Jackson, like you're saying, that Jason dying was the only interesting thing to happen in the Percy Jackson online fandom between the end of Heroes of Olympus and this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is really great.
Really, even with, I mean, yeah, that was really it. And then the show got announced, and then like Son of the Star got announced, and Chalice of the Gods got announced, and all the podcasters who got like screeners and interviews that happened. And that's like, there's been a huge boom for Percy Jackson. The Funko Pops. I don't know if you guys saw that there was Funko Pops. Those went on sale and sold out on Amazon within minutes.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's so crazy to me. I'm also like not the most involved in the fandom in terms of like, on like Instagram and stuff. Like I see a decent amount of tweets, but and like we obviously do the pod, but I don't know, I don't consider myself to be super involved in the fandom, and so especially for someone like me who I really really was, though, like back in the day, like back in, for me it was like middle school, I kind of forgot that anyone else had read these books.
No, like, I agree.
Up until like 2021 basically.
No, because we got to college and we met each other and we were like, oh my god, other people do care about this. I guess the musical happened.
Yeah, that was for us.
But that's not the same.
That was the only other saving grace. I remember when I went to go see the musical in 2019, I was like, oh, this is cute. Yeah. You know, some podcasts just started. They're a little bump for Percy Jackson back in my brain, and then, you know, everything went uphill or downhill from there, depending how you look at it.
Yeah, it is weird. Like, I'm also, like, I'm not involved in the Percy Jackson fan space beyond posting for this podcast, you know? So I, like, see it on the Return to Camp account, but, like, we are majority, like, as a podcast, not super, I would say, directly like involved with fandom level stuff.
Yeah,
we're very much talking about the chapters we're reading this week and ourselves, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
But hey, that's the premise of this podcast, is like we're not thinking about it in necessarily a fan perspective and like headcanons and things like that. That's just not where our interests lie within Percy Jackson. But so it's weird to be like on these social media sometimes, and you're like, oh my god, that's what you're all talking about?
Yeah.
It gets wild sometimes, dude. Oh my god, it gets really... God, I mean, there's all... I'm re-experiencing what it was like when I was a teenager, and like teenage girls would go after the teenage main lead and be over-obsessed, and I'm like, this is a child, stop.
Right? Having that different perspective is crazy.
Yeah. There was a big thing in January where people were trying to figure out Walker's middle name, so much to a point that somebody hacked his school records to find out.
Oh my god.
It got crazy.
Leave the boy alone.
I really enjoyed the Percy Jackson TV series.
Yeah.
Like, I won't take that away.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is just a part of me that is never going to completely enjoy child actors. Like,
no.
It has nothing to do with these particular child actors. I, especially working in entertainment, and also just like growing up at the point that we did, like growing up in the early 2000s, at the peak of child stars destroying their lives.
Mm.
I have such a, like, just this wall between me and child actors, in which, one, child actors aren't ever good at acting separately. They just can't be. Like, they're not real people. They can't be. They're children.
They're not. You heard it here first, folks. Brayden Stallman.
Children aren't real.
Children are not real.
Children are not real people.
Hey. Yeah.
No, but like, children are still developing. They don't have the emotional nuance or the understanding to play these emotions or these experiences because they have not experienced anything themselves. And this just has to do with my own acting philosophy. That was not the point I was going at. I got distracted. Mm-hmm. The point I'm going at is that child acting as an industry is abusive, and there are no regulations. There are regulations, but the regulations are so lax and easy to skirt around that terrible things happen to child actors because of the reality of the industry. And on top of that, the media attention and the reality of that, there's nothing you can do to stop it. Like, and therefore it will always be a little irresponsible to put children on TV because none of these kids, especially these kids in Percy Jackson, should at their age be receiving the level of attention and the commentary by the public that they are. And we've seen how much this has fucked up so many actors and musicians over the years. And it's a reality of fame at this age. And it will always be gross to me.
I was about to say, I hope, you know, knock on wood, it's not a direct one-to-one, but I watched today the Quiet on Set documentary.
We just watched it like 2 days ago too.
Yeah, I just watched it today.
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm planning on it.
Yeah, that's immediately the I thought of like the kids from the show, and I'm like, I don't think that exactly is happening to them, but like still, the ending, the last episode really went like, yeah, being a child actor fucked me up in many ways.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I would highly recommend to our listeners Christy Carlson Romano's podcast, where she interviews other former child actors, and they talk about their experiences. And there are problems on so many levels besides the big things. Like Quiet on Set, dealing with Dan Schneider and the abuse and the pedophilia and that happened at Nickelodeon on those shows, is one specific type of really bad thing that has happened to child actors. But there are other bad things that happen just like by being a child actor, separately to the way anyone even treats you on set. Like things beyond the control of production companies and teams. Like what happened to Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears and Miley Cyrus and Demi Lovato, like the being pushed toward addiction and these coping mechanisms is like not something that anyone in specific is like pushing on these child actors. It is a human impulse to find coping mechanisms to deal with things you can't understand. And that happens to people fall into vices and alcoholism and drug abuse and addiction just generally out here living life. But like it happens so frequently with these child actors because you're given this level of attention and no resources on how to handle it.
Real. Period.
Sorry for my rant on child acting, but I feel strongly about it.
As you should.
As you should.
No, yeah, no, that rocks.
Absolutely. All that to circle back to.
To absolutely cannonball back to.
Absolutely. You can't like drive a car through the wall back to. Yeah, eternity is a concept I can't grasp, and what lies beyond this life, I hope, is something that is worth the life I'm currently living.
Gotta go.
And that's that. And that's all she wrote. There's literally nothing else we can say.
And with that, I think it's time for sass moments.
That was beautiful. What the fuck?
Yeah, that was incredible.
I'm going to share mine first because it kind of relates to the metatextualness of the Percy Jackson fandom that we were just talking about. And it is the line, "Once again, I have broken the first law of Percy Jackson. Never say something is going to work out because as soon as you do, it won't." Clump. But
I don't want to be it.
But saying first law of Percy Jackson, I was like, this is a stretch, Rick. Like, in the way, you're saying this as the person, but we know you're saying this as the series. And that's a hard sell. But damn, was it funny enough that you... Fine.
I think it's also making a Fight Club reference, technically.
Yeah.
Oh, the first one Fight Club. That's funny. I'm also somehow with that, I'm like, he knows. Like that's just like breaking the fourth wall in such a specific way. I don't know.
Yeah. Mine is Miss Meg. She kicked one leg over the railing and jumped. The plants grabbed her, passing her down the leafy latticework a few feet at a time like a bucket brigade. At first, she yelped and flailed her arms, but about halfway to the ground, she shouted up to us, "Not that bad." I was next. It was bad. Made me laugh.
I love it. I have, "You got your archery skills back," she said. "You got your musical skills back." "That Valerie song didn't count," Meg said. "Volare," I collected, corrected. That was awesome. I love Valerie, if anyone has.
That's a tune.
I'm gonna keep it real with you. I did not write down a sass moment. I forgot.
That's all good.
It is okay.
Okay.
What characters would we like to give offerings for?
The Sybil for being a bad bitch and going down, forgiving someone who didn't deserve it.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to second it. I was gonna anyways, but I was like, I hope she gets two at least. She
Yeah,
gave
I was also gonna give the Sybil, but I do have to give some credit to Harpocrates.
Yeah, they both deserve it, girl.
And I'm gonna give mine to him.
Do I have to give mine to Apollo?
No.
No,
No.
you really don't have to.
Okay, because I didn't know if that's how that was working. I was also gonna go Sybil, but Harpocrates is a really great point because I think like it takes a different kind of courage to like then be the only one kind of maintaining your stance on a person like pre-forgiveness. Like it's very easy to get swept up in something. Yeah, I'll go Harpocrates.
And who would we like to vote off?
Apollo.
Fair. It's
That's
fair.
it's
And you
fair.
should say it.
Period. Yep.
I'm tempted to like vote off something that happened in chapters 31 or 32 that we didn't talk about at all, because it just truly wasn't the most interesting thing that happened.
Apollo's looking more like a zombie. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I guess I'm voting off Caligula, because we just get a description of how Harpocrates and the Sybil are trapped here, and like, I don't know. The vibes were just so gross of these like memories of the imprisonment that like, and I just know it's Caligula. Like Commodus isn't smart enough to be this cruel.
No.
Yeah. Whatever fucking happened to Nero, huh?
He's waiting for the next book.
Oh God, that scares
He's on
me.
the bench.
I've just never seen a more clear. All right, we're gonna get rid of the two lower tier villains this book, and then we'll have the big bads, Nero and Python, in the last one. Done.
Well, I don't want to spoil anything, but the last book is called The Tower of Nero.
Oh, you're fucking kidding me. That's awesome. I knew that was a book. I didn't know if that was that book or if it was like some other book that I kind of had,
Now, I'm not going to spoil what happens in the Tower of Nero, but
No, but
it's there.
I would
take your best
assume they
guess.
climb a tower at
Maybe
some
make a new
point.
friend named Nero? No, I'm kidding. I
Oh
don't
my
know, because
God.
I feel like I'm cheating if I vote Nero off just because he gives me the fucking creeps. And you mentioned Caligula, so I thought of him. But I don't know, I kind of want to vote off child acting as an industry.
You know what? Thank you.
I mean, I also believe it. What you said. So,
I had a a deep urge to vote off Peaches. But that doesn't make any sense.
He was tangentially related to chapter 32.
Yeah, but I gotta go with Caligula just because that makes sense. And just because I think Peaches is scary, he wasn't mentioned.
Somehow, we all hate Peaches here, but somehow I feel like Neve hates Peaches more than anyone else.
Mm.
And it like really cracks me up.
If Peaches has no haters, I am gone.
No, because you're always literally, you're always like, he's just so weird. Like, why is he here?
I just feel
that's
like,
a great Neve impression.
I just feel like we were never, maybe I've forgotten, but I feel like it was just like so, the description was so creepy. The picture is so creepy. And we never got a good enough reason other than just like, he wants to protect Meg. Like there's no.
He's Peaches.
He's Peaches. He's here. He's here to protect Meg. Why? Don't ask questions like that. Like he is, we have no idea.
Yeah.
That's just how I see it.
And that's how Sue sees it.
Exactly.
With that, that is all for this week, folks. Join us next week where we'll be discussing
chapters 33 through 36.
Period. Make sure to follow us on social media. We are at Return to Camp on every platform that matters. And we also have a coffee account and a Redbubble store. And guess what? A website, www.returntocamp.com. Robert, before you go, do you want to plug anything?
The only thing I mainly do these days is The Bits, which is my Steven Universe podcast. I am in the midst of planning and doing things for a project I'm launching in June, so I'll talk more about that as I get closer to June, but hey, it's coming together, which is the scary part about doing something new you haven't done before, is when it starts to come together.
Yeah, no, that's so real, and I feel that very directly.
one thing wins an idea, and it's another thing if it fails miserably. It's a third thing if it looks like it might actually work.
Yeah. Well,
we love to see it.
Thank you for being here, as always.
We always love that.
Thank you for having me.
And goodbye, nerds.
See you next week for the fucking Percy Jackson Awards.
Woo!
Thanks. Bye.